Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in us. That's a great song, isn't it? Yeah, great song, isn't it? It's a song that we love to sing, and in the moment you just catch that, Lord, have your way. And if you, it's sometimes good to stop singing and listen to the voices. And you can hear more than just the voices. You can hear the heart, the expression that is just pouring out of people. But you know, something more is required than just that statement. Something more is required than just a proclamation. And it's about us aligning ourselves with God for that to happen, for God to have his way amongst you. It's more than just saying, I'm here. It's about letting him pour in. It's a bit like, you know, we used to sing, Lord, let it rain, let it rain. And I remember being in a conference and they were singing, let it rain, let it rain. And I just had this like prophetic picture of a whole host of people saying, great, it's raining. And they put their umbrella up. The whole thing about when it's raining is to enjoy the rain. I remember some time ago being in Richmond, Virginia, and we got caught in this rain, and I have never seen rain like this before. And it was literally bouncing over our heads. It was just amazing, you know, and we were adults, you know, and nobody thought about putting, even we didn't have an umbrella, but nobody thought for a moment, it was lovely and warm, nobody thought for a moment, let's get out of the rain. You know, we're just, you know, stupid English people, and we just enjoyed the rain. But see, we have the choice to remain in what God is doing or not. And today I want to talk to you about times of refreshing. It was wonderful to hear the Jesus stories. Really excellent. Every time I come, there's Jesus stories. There's always stories about healings, and there's always testimonies about opportunities to share the faith with people. And I just want to say, you know, I use the phrase a lot, they're not saved yet. But, you know, we really need to understand that they're not saved yet, and there is a yet. And you may never see it, but that doesn't mean that they don't get saved. Does that make sense? So we need just to sow, and we need to sow, and we need to believe. I think it's Reinhard Bonnke, he says, like everybody he shares with, he counts them as saved. He just says, I'm taking them as saved until I know difference. So I want to talk to you about times of refreshing. There'll be lots of scriptures that will come up. We've tried to change this from keynote to PowerPoint, so whether they'll be there or not. Yep. And the first one, I want to look at Acts 3, 19 and 20. And this is what we'll look at this. But you know, just to give you some setting, I believe that as I was praying for you guys, especially during this season that you've been in, and it's whether you're coming to an end of a season. You know, as you read scripture, it's full of seasons and time frames. And quite often they're talked about in the prophetic, okay? And sometimes we try and work it down to hours and minutes and days, weeks and months. And you don't need to do that. But I wonder if you're coming to an end of a season. But when you look back at the last season, it's what do you remember? What do you see foremost in it? Do you, you know, when you are feeling disappointed, when you are feeling down, when times are tough, what comes to your mind? Is it God's faithfulness? Is it the story, you know, when you're trying to share the gospel with people and, you know, you don't seem to be getting anywhere, or you're praying for the sick and they don't seem to be getting healed, or whatever the situation is, you know, bad things happen, you know, and obviously the horrific thing, the guys are involved in, you know, the crash. But what do we remember? And I want to encourage you, the thing that we need to remember is God is faithful. God is faithful. And he is faithful because he cannot be unfaithful. It's not possible for him to be unfaithful. He wouldn't be God. But you know, when we look back and when we review the season that we're in, how you look back will have massive influence on how you see the future. if all you see is disappointment, frustration, etc., that's what you'll take into your new season. So I want to have a look at this this morning, just briefly. You know, and you know, the reality is that we might be sat here with regrets, disappointment, hurt, frustrations, questions, etc. And it's okay for you to have them, and it's okay for you to ask God those things. God can cope with our questions. The thing is, can we be still enough to hear him? Have you ever been in a situation you just think, God, oh God, why is this happening? Why, oh God, is this not happening? And it's not one of the slides, so, but, you know, Scripture says, doesn't it, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. I don't understand it, but I acknowledge that you are faithful. And he says, and he'll direct your path. You know, as you come into a new season, I believe that whenever we come into a new season, God prepares us. He readies our hearts and our minds to receive something afresh. Otherwise, we will go into our new season, into our new time with the same expectations that we had in the past season. And it doesn't mean that they were wrong. They were just last season's expectations. Does that make sense? So I want to look at some of these things. This scripture. Now, we know we read just a moment ago in Romans 5:5, my hope does not disappoint. Well, that sounds very nice. I know I've felt disappointed. Okay, confession time. I know things have happened and I have been disappointed. I don't understand why that's happened, God. I don't understand why they have died. I don't understand why they haven't been healed. I don't understand this, God. I don't understand why you can let them do that to me. Confession done. And you know what? God can cope with that situation. And he just says, walk with me. And as you walk with him, you start to see things differently. You start to see that situation differently. You start to see it through a new lens. God has done some amazing things in you over the last season, hasn't he? Okay, possibly. He has, you know, I mean, just coming and hearing those stories, God has done something quite amazing. Don't lose sight of that. Don't stop getting excited by the Jesus stories. You know, we talked a bit before about, I am who I am. You know, I know I am in God. But, you know, for many of us, we think that is some future heavenly promise. Or we think it's some piece of fiction because you don't really know where I am. You don't really know me. So it's got to be some future heavenly situation. And that is a lie. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God right now. Right now, in my frailty, right now I am a son of God. You know, we can be sons and daughters of God and not be living like one. You're still a son or daughter of God. We have to process what we're going through. And we have to see the valuable blessings and the amazing blessings that we've just experienced in this past season. And with that confidence, and we value them, we go in knowing that God is faithful, that whatever lies ahead of us, whatever mountains, whatever battles, whatever situations, that God is with us, and that God is able, and that God is willing. Because otherwise we'll go into the new season and we think, oh, we've been here before. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. We say, I've been here before and I survived. I'm still here. Favorite verse, I will never leave you or abandon you, says the Lord. Love it. the illustration I had when I was thinking about you, and I have to say, there's something brewing in our nation at the moment about change. There's just something, there's a number of leaders that I've been meeting with probably for the last 4 months, and I'd have to say I'm probably the person who's been staring them up a little bit over this. I'm saying, well, what does it mean? Come on, you know, tell me. And, you know, we don't know, but we just sense that there's something about to happen in the autumn. Now, people say, okay, is that September? Is that October? I'm like, you're supposed to be prophets, it's illustration. If we just know it's coming. You don't have to have a time. We just know that something is coming, and we need to ready ourselves and we need to prepare ourselves. And it's really exciting. And you know what's very exciting? We don't know what it is. And people have hopes and aspirations of what it can be. And I'm like, I'm just excited. I just want to be ready. I just don't want to miss it. Whatever it is, I want to be right in the middle of it. Have you ever, anybody here not can't swim? Okay, just the two of us. You know, three, four of us. Okay, it's like anybody, I'm not saying, you know, they're going up slowly. You know, I remember I can't swim at all. And I'm not scared of swimming. It's drowning that terrifies me. And I don't really have a fear of water. But, you know, I remember having this picture, you know, I remember seeing myself, you know, as a kid, all my friends, you know, you go to the beach, you go to the swimming baths, or you go, you know, the lake, and, you know, they're all jumping in and getting thrown in. They're all having a great time. And I'm just sat on the side, pretending not to want to join in, pretending that I don't really want to be able to swim, pretending I don't really want to be right at the heart of all the fun. Pretending not to be right at the heart, not wanting to be at the heart of all that is happening. And that's sometimes what we're like as Christians when God starts to move. Sometimes you just got to get in and you just got to position yourself and you'll be fine. Because he's with you. Yeah, you will be, honestly. I don't mean in water. I mean, because you might drown. But in God, you know, you position yourself, you'll make yourself available. And you'll be touched by it. Now, believe that every year that we have, life is a gift. And God gifts us with different opportunities to be who he has called us to be in the world that he has placed us, with the people he has placed us amongst. You know, and this is a great responsibility, and we ought to maximize it to its full. You know, I can't heal anyone. I cannot save anyone. I cannot deliver anyone. Not even on my good day. I can encourage them, but I can't save them, I can't heal them, and I can't deliver them. Only the Holy Spirit does that. But the great news, the Holy Spirit just says, I want to flow through you. It's through you I want to work. But we have to be available. There's tons of promises for us to draw on. Okay, let's look at Acts 3:19. Great start, really encouraging. Times of refreshing. Let's start with this. Repent then. Oh, that's a great place to start, isn't it? That's the best place to start any process. I remember being in the Ukraine and being really sick, and I repented of things I've never even thought about doing. I was that sick. I had all these doctors with me, and they just didn't know what was wrong with me. And I'd prayed and I prayed and I was so poorly. You know, they said, okay, let's just pray. Let's do some prayer. You know, I was repenting and renouncing things I've never even thought about doing, just in case. As well as things that obviously I had done. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. You know that unbelief is a sin. You know indifference is a sin. Like in church, not your church, obviously. But in lots of churches, indifference, people think is the fruit of the Spirit. They are really, you know, well up on. Cool. If I can. Thank you. Stripey lady. Okay. You know, it's like people just love to be indifferent. It is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not like unity. It's the opposite, indifference. And why do we turn to God? Why do we repent of our sin? That times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So what it's saying is that sin and not when walking with God will stop refreshing coming to us. How many of you need to be refreshed? Yeah, I mean, I frequently need to be refreshed. But you know, as we're serving the Lord, you know, we give, don't we? And we give, and we give, and we give. Yes, and we give a bit more. And church is the place where you're expected to keep on giving. And you can become tired, and you can become weary, even doing great things and good things and, you know, anointed things, whatever word you want to use. And that's why it's so important for us to be refreshed. Refresh means to revive, to revitalize, to be restored. If we look through scripture, you see there's a variety of expressions of refreshing, talking about the physical and spiritual. Does your body get tired as you're serving God, as you're doing life? He wants to come and refresh you in your spirit. He just wants to come along and refresh you. And some of that will start with rest, by the way. And a great way, you know, if you want to come to a time of refreshing, is learn to rest. Learn to put some worship on, which we'll talk about in a minute, and just get on the floor. And you might call it soaking, do you? Yeah, I like to call it marinating. You know, because even like when you talk about soaking, some of us are dippers. Now, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone here. But you know, like with chicken, if you get the sauce, I know I'm up with that, don't I? And you dip your piece of chicken in the sauce and you take it out. It just goes on the outside of it. Leave me alone. Okay. So it's just a little bit of a coat on the outside. But I'm told, it's not my experience like most things, if you leave the chicken in for a few hours, it soaks right in. And when you cook the chicken and you cut it open, oh, it's all the juices there and it tastes. It's just soaked right into it. And I want to encourage us not to be dippers, but to be people who are marinated in the Spirit. We just learn to soak and to rest, because there'll always be something to do. But what can you give if you haven't got anything? We talk about rest in Exodus 23, verse 12. I'll put these up just as reference. It's so important to rest. You know, we think, well, rest means doing nothing. You know, you rest when you have a Sabbath. It doesn't mean that at all. Sabbath is a busy time. You know, Sabbath you would have had with your family and your friends, and you would have ate together and you would have fellowshiped together. That's what happened in the Sabbath. It was a change from your normal routine. But you didn't sort of just say, oh, I'm having a Sabbath, not doing anything. You know, like when we say we're not doing without, we're having a rest, that generally means, not for you, you know, 8 hours in front of the TV. Just having a Sabbath rest. Yeah, I don't think that'll work either, okay? So we need to learn to rest. Another thing that is like being refreshed is a cool drink. Have you ever been like, obviously, a little bit sometimes in England, but you know, you've been, you know, you're on holiday, wherever you're on holiday, and the sun's out, and it's really hot, and you've been on a walk, and, you know, you haven't had a drink or anything, and, you know, you arrive at a cafe or something, you say, oh, a glass of water would be great, and your mouth is just really dry, and water's never tasted so good. Even tap water's never tasted as good. There's something about coming and drinking. Judges 15, 18, and 19. Cool water after physical activity. It's refreshing. And we need to be able just to come and drink. As I said, music is really important. In 1 Samuel 16, 23, it says this: whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play, and then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. You might say, ooh, don't know if I want to do that. Well, if you've got an evil spirit, you want it to leave you. Okay, that's the clue. You don't want it. But, you know, there's something about the ministry of worship to us, about sitting and just letting it minister to us. To our spirit. I'm not talking to our emotion. You can read right all the way through the Holy, through the New Testament, how the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, part of his role is to come and minister to us. That is, that to come and teach us, to come and encourage us and challenge us and provoke us and challenge. Times of refreshing are promised by the prophets in Jeremiah 31:25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Amen? That's a good place to say amen. Have you ever felt faint and weary? Okay, please write a book because I need to know how you do this. And well, we've just gone to the wrong church. But just doing life and the complexity of life, it's easy to feel, just become weary and faint. So I don't know what this season has been like for you. You may have struggled through it. You may have just wandered through it, you know, trudged through it. You may have gone through dry patches, lonely patches. You may feel, I've been waiting long enough for my new season. It seems like I've been waiting forever. I know you've been through some tough times. There's a time of refreshing coming. Things change when the refreshing comes. That's good news. I want to concentrate on the Holy Spirit and refreshing. We talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And we talk a lot about what he does, but we don't give him time to do what he does. That makes sense? We talk about him. The Holy Spirit can do this, the Holy Spirit can do that, you know. You will have heard me say this before, I'm sure, that, you know, we have, you know, you have GPS, don't we, on our phones when you go and, you know, just go in the shop, you put your GPS on. And it's great, and they talk to you, and they tell you where you should go numerous times. You know, and we say, yes, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is not my GPS. You know, I've got Siri, and as much as I talk to her, she only does what she wants to do anyway. I don't have a relationship with her, but I do with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit wants to be there with you. He wants to be walking through life with you. He's not just there like, you know, Siri, find this for me. Siri, can you find, watch my phone doesn't go on. She's probably looking for something at the moment. You know, there's a relationship that you can't have. You know, Siri is it's an aid. You can't have a relationship with it. We need to learn what it is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. A real living relationship where he talks to us and he guides you. And you just know that sense of time when the Holy Spirit just touches you to speak, to act, to pray. That's part of his role. He's when he comes and he just sows something into your heart and your mind. You think, why have I never seen that before? And that's his role, to come and teach you. You know, whatever you hear on a Sunday, whenever what you do the following days, you know, throughout the week, you know, if you're thinking about it, the Holy Spirit will come and add to it and explain it and open it all up to you. You know, we know when Peter preached and 3,000 were saved in one message. So when the Holy Spirit comes, there is power, there is joy, and there is growth. When the Holy Spirit comes, there is power, joy, and growth. Yes, I mean personal growth and numerical growth. Because it said out of those 3,000, they were saved and added. Off the back of that, they didn't set up a foundation to say, let's celebrate. They move on, and Peter and John, they see the lame man begging at the gate of the temple. And he gets healed. He's healed in the name of Jesus. And the healed man then goes into the temple as a testimony. And that's where the power of testimony is so important. When people get saved and people get healed, it doesn't matter if I'm saying this person's been healed or whatever. It's what they say. And we need to be saying to people, go and tell. Go and show yourself. Go and show yourself and tell, you know, to your family and friends. That's the power of testimony. It's one thing for me to give their testimony, but it's a whole different thing when they give it. It goes on in Acts 3, 19 to 20. 20 says this, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. We need to see just the Spirit of Christ come into our lives in a fresh, dynamic way. For the Spirit of Christ just to come into Rugeley and into Liverpool in ways that have never even been written about yet, where things flip from one thing to the next. You know, in a moment, things can change. One season, David was a shepherd boy. The next season, he was a king. One season, you've got Ruth working in the field. The next season, she owns that very same field. One season, you've got Mordecai was sitting outside the king's palace. The next season, he sat inside as the most trusted advisor. In a moment, with due process, God changes things. Boom. Boom. Where does revival start? It has to start somewhere. It may start with 3,000 people, it may start with one. The Argentinian revival didn't start with some glory crusade. It started the night the Belgrano battleship when the Falklands conflict was on. The night the Belgrano was sank, an evangelist in Buenos Aires went up on stage in front of thousands of people. Their economy was terrible, out of control. They just suffered a massive defeat, and he gets up and he calls the nation to repent. And the longest modern day revival started. Wasn't in a glory time, is it, with repentance? We need to know what it is to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Refreshing just makes you more sensitive to what is happening. Let's move in the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 37 and 38. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Can you just imagine? You're out on your Saturday morning and you're sharing and say, what do I do? What do I need to do to become one of these Christians? You say, okay, well, if I say repent, that's going to really put them off. Well, come to church on Sunday. No, it's repent. Repent, turn from, you know, you may say, that does not sound right. It doesn't, but we're taking the Holy Spirit out of the moment. See, the Holy Spirit has to bring conviction before you can be saved. It's not a cerebral decision. Can you imagine, Kev? You're out there, you're doing it, and you know, you talk to people, you're giving them coffee and whatever it is you do, and it's like, and you tell your story, and you think, wow. And you think, well, I've got a story, you know. And you think, wow. All right, fellow, well, what do I need to do to be saved? And you say, repent. Something starts to happen because he goes back to his community. And he tells what happened to him. You know what, I was down in the town center. And there's these people talking about Jesus. And I became one of them. Is that not a fantastic story? Are you ready to hear your God stories? Or one Sunday morning, you say, have anybody got a God story? And this really weird looking geezer stands up and he goes, you're probably like nodding on the microphone. You're probably thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And I remember, we've done this over the years, and they dropped the F-bomb in it a couple of times. But they just tell their story. They're just not sanctified. They're just not sanctified yet. And when they're telling their story, about what's happened, those of you who are evangelists and those of you who are pastors, you all go, fantastic. And probably those of you who've got more of a teaching gift, he said sanctification, he actually meant justification. Well, let's have a word with him later. Don't be like that. You just need to get excited about it. If you don't expect it, you won't even recognize it when it comes. The Holy Spirit, He brings refreshing. Going to a good conference might lighten your load, but it's the Holy Spirit Himself who brings that refreshing. And it's available to whoever believes in Jesus, whoever aligns themselves with Him. How do I receive it? Just humble ourselves. Just say, Lord, I want to position myself right now. I am thankful for whatever season I have just been through. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that I survived the difficult times. I thank you for your blessing. But whatever it is you're about to do, I want to be right there, God. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how experienced you are. It doesn't matter what any of those things, because you are not the life source. He's the Holy Spirit. And if you start by repenting, it's a good place. And in our refreshing, we'll find rest and we'll find mercy. Who doesn't need to experience the mercy of God? Who doesn't need to know, thank you, God, you're merciful. But if you want to receive the mercy of God, He expects you to demonstrate it to others. I'm not sure if I want that one. If you ask Him for God's grace, I'm not sure who's going to be putting them right if it's not me. Maybe the Holy Spirit. That's His job. It's in His job description. It's not in ours. Ours is love one another, but it's still called today. Joy. Share the joy. Share the joy. When people are being with you, do they say, oh, thank God, that was great. When can we do it again? Or do they think, oh, let's never ever do that again, this side of heaven. That was too traumatic. Joy isn't about happiness. Joy is just something that flows from deep within your heart, that flows out of thanksgiving. Let's not be afraid of preaching repentance. Let's not be afraid of doing repentance. Keep a short account. Our words aren't, we seem to be obsessed. And I understand when, I hear people saying, yes, we've got favor with these people and favor with those people and favor with those people. And I'm like, why are we obsessed about having favor with people? Because if you read your Bible, what follows favor? Persecution. That's what happens if you read your New Testament. Straight after the favor, once they've said good things about you and you continue to talk about repentance, the need for repentance, people get upset. Those who don't get saved get upset. When you start to raise the God standard, somebody will say, oh, that's not the rainbow flag. Or that's not the tolerance flag. And they'll say, you're anti this, you're anti that, you're anti that. I'm anti nothing. Jesus isn't anti anything. We love because Christ loved first. And we like to say, well, God loves sinners, He doesn't love sin. It's probably really unhelpful to say that. We just need to love sinners. Okay. We need to know what it is to turn to God. You can read about that in Acts 3:19. Just to turn, there's an action required. Returning to God. How can I run to God? Leave them, Joe. How can I run to God? How can I come back to my first love? And you might think, well, I didn't know it was a way. We get busy. We just get busy doing the stuff and we think we can do the stuff without him. We can't. Romans 15:30-33 says this: I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. I pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea. Wow, that's an interesting prayer, eh? And that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorable, received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. Isn't that great? Paul the apostle saying, I'll hang out with you and I'll be refreshed. God of peace be with you all. Some things that come when you're refreshed is we're never filled to full. We're always filled to overflowing. And if you read in 2 Timothy 1:16-18, it talks about the benefit of being full to overflowing is that you will help others. You'll give freely to God and to others. You just give. You become generous. You lavish both practical things and financial things. In Philemon 1 verses 4 to 7, it talks about witness, and when you're full, you have to go and tell. You want to go and tell. You don't want to keep it to yourself. Like if your grandparents, you know, like, you know, and you got your grandchildren pictures on the phone, you just show them to everybody, whether you know them or not. Could you show some pictures of the grandchildren? You know, it doesn't matter whether you know. See, this is, she's gorgeous. Great. Here's me new one. See? You're not thinking, you know, who are they? You're just full of love and you want to share the love. If you read through Acts, and I'd encourage you to read it again, what happens when the refreshing of God comes is that there's one thing to witness, but in Acts 1:8 it says this, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Rugeley, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You start at your garden gate. We prayed for years and years that we would be able to reach the nations. And in our new context, we've got about 20 Portuguese speakers. It's amazing. It's just absolutely fantastic. You know, and we've got people from lots of different nations who are just coming in. And you know what? We're not thinking, how will they understand? We're just thinking, Holy Spirit, you just need to do whatever it is you do. So we want the power to witness. We want to see numerical growth as people receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see those people who have fallen out of church and away from church. We want to see them restored. Because if you want to see revival, and you know anything about revival, what happens first is that those who have fallen away are restored. That is the general practice. If it's going to be like in times gone by. A real restoration of healed souls and minds. The real sense of blessing. Blessing isn't fickle, but it has real substance. That we know that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we're not slow to share it, and we're not slow to claim it, and we're not slow to demonstrate it. Because in all these things, we're giving all the glory to God. And this boldness that comes in Acts 4:13, boldness to carry out God's mandate. And I want to encourage you guys that as this new season comes, you look back and you say, God, thank you that you're faithful. Thank you for your repeated, you know, faithfulness. You walk into this building, this is God's faithfulness. The story of this building, you know, sometimes you can be a bit close. You know, and you don't appreciate what God is doing. It's true. You know, you need to revisit the story of how you got this building, why you got this building, what you're doing with this building, the lives that are being touched by what the ministry of this building and the different ministries here. And you need to revisit and you need to say thank you and you need to celebrate them. And yes, you need to go over the top if need be, because it's harder to go over the top than what it is. You know, we tend to like to keep nice and calm. We need to be thankful to God, because out of that thankfulness grows our great sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to close in a minute. Do you want to say anything? What you have is great and precious. And what we have is it's great and it's precious. But if we don't know what it is to regularly be refreshed by the Holy Spirit, we'll become tired and weary. And have you ever heard of Duncan Campbell from the Hebridean Revival? Duncan Campbell, when he was really good and old, he was being interviewed by somebody, and they said, well, you know, tell me the story. And he told them the story of the revival. And Duncan Campbell stops this young reporter and he says, listen, son, he says, if you're ever in a place and revival comes and the Holy Spirit comes, he says, grab a hold of him. Grab a hold of him and never let him go. Don't stop listening to him. Don't stop changing. Just do whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting. And he says, because if you don't, you'll have to buy bigger tambourines and you'll have to sing louder songs, because you'll try and substitute that which only the Holy Spirit can do. And it's a somber thing that, you know, the enemy tries to counterfeit everything, but so do we. Rather than just going for the authentic move of the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing from stopping each of us. So can we just stand, if the band are coming back, do you want to come just while I pray? If you can stand up and you want to stand, I just want to pray for you. We've heard so many people talk about being thankful. You know, especially for the guys being safe. And we've heard about all these other testimonies, but there's so much more, eh? There's so much more that God wants. And he just wants us to position ourselves. So let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you point us to our loving Heavenly Father always. Father, we thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to resource us, to be the people that you've called us to be. And Father, we would just right now want to take a stand against any disappointment, disillusionment. We want to take authority over them right now and say that there is hope and purpose and destiny in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, for dreams that are being put to one side, and for hopes and aspirations that are being put to one side and may have even gathered dust. Lord, if you've spoken those things, Lord, we take them back right now. And we wipe the dust off them. We thank you, Father God, that your plans and your purposes don't change for us. And we pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that we would align ourselves, that we would humble ourselves. And if we need to, Father, we would repent of indifference, of hurt and anger, and of sin. And we say, Father, just have your way. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. Use us to be that people that would see your kingdom come in power and might. In the days ahead, that we would see the Holy Spirit just impact Rugeley and beyond. That individuals and families and neighborhoods would be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and salvation would come. And whole communities would be overturned, and darkness would be scattered by the presence of your light and your goodness. And the strongholds of the enemy in the areas of drug and crime, etc., will be so affected. Lord, we can't do this. And even if we tried it, it'd just fail. But we ask, Holy Spirit, come in power and might and save Rugeley. For the rich and the poor, for the sorted and the unsorted, for the black and the white. Lord God, we ask that you would do it, Father God. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see the love that we feel, the love that we have experienced. We want to see our city, our town, our neighborhoods receive that as well. Lord, we know that you are able. We know that you are willing. So, Father, we say, by the power, through the power of your Holy Spirit, send a mighty move of God to Rugeley. And flow through each of us. Cause us just to overflow wherever we are, in our families, our neighborhoods, and our workplaces. And that we would continue to see this increase of God's stories. And that we continue to see the increase of new people who are coming to know you and who are joining our church family. So we ask you, Father, to do this in your name and for your glory. Amen.